Father, clear every barrier in this service this morning. Every barrier on the path of your children shall be cleared off. Lift your hands to him and magnify his name. Father, we thank you. Lord, we exalt your name. Blessed and blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' most precious name, we have given thanks.
Amen.
In Jesus' marvelous name, we have given thanks.
Amen.
For him seeing you through the month of January to May, has kept you and I up until this hour. He's still keeping us. We have testimonies that we have seen, testimonies that we are waiting, testimonies that will show up even today. For all of these ones, lift up your hands and appreciate him again. Father, I thank you. This is the first Sunday in the month of June. You kept me from January, February, March, April, May. I thank you, Jesus. March, April, May, you kept us until now. We give you praise and we give you glory, honor and adoration. In Jesus' most marvelous name, we have given thanks.
Amen.
Your amen is weak.
Amen.
In Jesus' precious name, we have given thanks.
Amen.
Welcome to the sixth month. Congratulate your neighbor for me, on your right and on your left. Say to your neighbor, welcome to the sixth month. Be blessed on every side. Before you take your seat this morning, glory to God. Luke chapter 1 and verse 36 now. Luke 1, 36. Good news came to someone. He said, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. Verse 37, it says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. I said to them to expect three things in the first service. These are the three things you are expecting in this service. Number one, expect the impossible.
Amen.
The impossible will happen to you.
Amen.
I didn't hear you. Amen.
Amen.
This month, anything can happen, for with God, all things are possible. Number two thing you should expect this month, expect good news.
Amen.
The sixth month is the month of good news.
Amen.
You will hear good news.
Amen.
You will send good news.
Amen.
You will receive good news.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And finally, the third thing you should expect to be glorified. Your season of glorification is finally here.
Amen.
In whatever shame you may have seen before, this sixth month, you will see glory.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Help me congratulate your neighbor again on your right and left. Say congratulations. Put those hands together for the Lord, and please, you may be seated comfortably. Father, we thank you again. Speak to us again. And let your name be glorified again, resulting again in our testimonies, in Jesus' most precious name. Prophetic focus, a season of glory. As we have heard in our teaching series, commencing today for Sunday services, is understanding the blessedness of a revival. Understanding the blessedness of a revival. This will be part 1B. Understanding the blessedness of a revival. Take a look at Habakkuk 3, 2 to 6, which is our anchor scripture. It said, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known, in wrath, remember mercy. And then he said in verse 3, and God came from Teman. God came from Teman. And the Holy One from Mount Paran, his glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise, and his brightness was as the brightness of light. He had horns coming out of his hand, and there was the hiding of his power. He says, before him went the pestilence, and burning coals went forth at his feet. He said, he stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations. and the everlasting mountains were what? Scattered. We are in the midst of a revival and in the midst of the year, which is our season of revival, and anything happens in the midst of a revival. Anything can happen in the midst of a revival. He said, in a revival changes everything. It makes the impossible to be possible. And a revival is when God is on the move. When God is on the move, let's look at two things that can happen when God is on the move. Number one, the move of God moves people into the kingdom. The move of God moves people into the kingdom. And the second thing that happens is that the move of God moves people forward. People are moved into the kingdom according to Micah chapter 4 verses 1 and 2. It says, but in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. It says, and one nation shall say to another, come ye and let us go into the house of the Lord our God, for he will teach us his ways and we will walk in his path. It says, for out of Zion shall proceed the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So in the last days, people flourish into the church. There is a move of the people into the kingdom of God. And then when this happens, the move of the people also move people forward. The move drafts multitudes into the kingdom, and in the drafting comes solution to their challenges. Matthew 11, 28 to 29, it said, come unto me, Jesus speaking. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, he said, and I will give you rest. In other words, come unto me, all that are heavy laden, all that are, whatever you are suffering, come to me in a revival. A revival is the bringing and commanding of people to come into his presence for their blessing. He commands them into his presence for their blessing. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, you can't do it by yourself, come to me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find what? Rest for your souls. When people are drafted into the church and they receive solution to their challenges, then we are said to be in a revival. When the church turns to a city without walls, we are said to be in a revival. Acts 13:44, it says, but the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. And they are drafted for a change of story. They came to hear the word of God, and the word of God that they have heard or they are hearing changes their story. But to sustain a revival, we must be spiritually awake. To sustain a revival, we must stay spiritually awake. We may be in a revival and not know. Glory to God. Jacob was sleeping in the midst of a revival. Genesis chapter 28 and verse 16. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep. And he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. The Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. In the midst of a revival, he was sleeping. And look at what happens when you sleep in a revival. Proverbs 10 and verse 5. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son. Nobody can be drafted in a sleepy state. You can't even drive in a sleepy state. They tell you it's dangerous for you to drive when you feel like sleeping. And if nobody is drafted, nobody will be moved forward. So that means in a revival, God is on the move. And when God is on the move, his move moves people into the kingdom. And the moved people enjoy a change of story. And the ones involved in the revival also enjoy a change of story. So everyone stay awake because it's revival time. But what is a revival? What is a revival? Number one, revival season is when we change levels in a revival. We change levels in a revival. A revival is God's design to change our level. Someone's level is changing this month.
Amen.
Someone's glory is shining this month.
Amen.
A revival is when God is in the midst of his people to change their story. Zephaniah chapter 3, 17 to 20. Zephaniah chapter 3, 17 to 20. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. He says, I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. He said, behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee. And I will save her that halted and gather her that was driven out. He says, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. He says, at that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise. The Lord in the midst of you. When God is in the midst of his people, he begins to do strange things for them. People begin to get saved. He said, I will, in the midst of you, he will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will rejoice over thee with singing. He said, and then I will gather them that are of sorrowful spirit to the solemn assembly who are of thee. He says, behold, at that time I will undo all your afflictions. In the midst of a revival, he undoes our afflictions. He says, and I will save her. He begins to save in a revival. And gather her that was driven out. He says, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have gone. And at that time, I will bring you again, even the time that I gather you. For I will make you a name. I will change your name. There is a name you have been called, but in the revival, he changes our name. A revival time is when God tabernacles in the midst of his people to change their name, change their story. I, God said to his servant, I, the God of wonder double, is visiting you. Why am I visiting you? Every time he comes down, he comes to change people's stories. Your story will be there this month.
Amen.
What is the revival number two? A revival is a spiritual awakening that causes the giant in us to rise. You won't know who you are now until the revival is in place. When revival is in place, then it begins to bring out the giant in you. You think you are a nobody, but in the midst of a revival, it turns you to a somebody. There are things you think you may think you cannot do now. In the midst of a revival, it shows you that you are more than that. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Ezekiel 37. Look at this. The hand of the Lord was upon me. When the hand of God comes upon you, there is nothing you can do. Nothing is impossible to a man that God's hand is laying on. He said, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord. He said, he set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Not only are they full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. In other words, take a good look at these bones. And behold, there were very many of those bones in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. That is, your case is so hopeless that everybody thinks you are a hopeless person. He said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? In other words, can my story change? He said, no, I don't know. Oh Lord, thou knowest. Based on what I'm seeing, I don't think anything can happen. But I will not say anything will not happen. Only you know. Next verse. And then he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cover up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to bone. It says, and when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then he said unto me again, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon this slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and the breath came unto them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, and what? Exceeding great army. They were not just dead bones. They were very dry bones, but his breath, his hand upon him turned them to an army. It's verse 11. And then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, and they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. He said, but therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, O my people, I will open your graves. Amen. I didn't hear you. Amen. And cause you to come up out of your graves. And bring you into the land of Israel. In other words, into your promised land. A revival is a spiritual awakening that causes the giant in us to rise. What you thought you could not do is what it will be doing with you, doing in you, and doing for you in this season of revival. A revival is the bringing out of the giant that is in us. He said in Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 21, he said, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring you again the captivity of Jacob's tent and have mercy on his dwelling places. The city shall be builded upon our own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof, and out of them shall proceed thanksgiving. And the voice of them that make merry. He says, and I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. So, season of glory is where we are right now. Season of glorification. It does not matter where you are. He says, in the midst of a revival, he wants to change your story. Your story will be changed. Amen. I said, your story is changing. Amen. Every part of your story is changing. But how do we know if we are in a revival? How do we know we are in a revival? Number one, when the heart of man begins to pant after God and the interest of his kingdom. When the heart of man begins to pant after God and the interest of his kingdom. When man is not being coerced to serve the interest of his kingdom. When man is not being cajoled to serve the interest of his kingdom. There is a revival when people just own up, take it on their own to be in service, to do the things of God. We are in a revival when church is no longer far. Glory to God. There are people who drive an hour because it's a revival. There are people who drive 20 minutes is far. Glory to God. We are in a revival when church is not far. We are in a revival when you are not being cajoled or followed up to come to church. That's a revival. When our heart suddenly begins to pant after the things of God. Psalm 42 and verse 1. He said, as the heart panted after the water brooks, so panted my soul after thee, O God. I am no longer interested in anything else but God. We are in a revival. My heart is just panting after the things of God. Psalms 34 and verse 10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not lack, want any good thing. The lions do. When our heart begins to pant after the things of God, we are said to be in a revival. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that others are running after will be running after you. Amen. We are in a revival when the things of God begin, the heart of man begins to pant after the things of God. I've shared this with you before several times, that somebody has a fiancé in Edmonton, and then he drives to Edmonton almost, in fact, every weekend. He drives to Edmonton every weekend. Edmonton is not far again. And somebody is asking him, you drive to Edmonton every weekend? He said, yeah, it's just right there. Edmonton is just right there. When you link that highway and you link it to the other one, you just keep going, straight road. You get to Edmonton. Oh, really? Oh. He goes there every weekend and attends church there every weekend, because that's where his sweetheart is. Now, they are married. He's back in Calgary. He has brought the sweetheart to Calgary. The friend now said, ah, Pastor B, you remember you used to go to Edmonton? You say it's not far. Please, I need to go there today. Can you help me? Ha! Edmonton is far. Ah, that, but you used to say it's just link that road. Ah, no, 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 no. Edmonton, you know how much they sell gas now? Why? His heart is no longer there. His heart is here. Your way, whatever your hand pants after is what you follow. When your heart is panting after the things of God, we are in a revival. You are not being begged to do nothing. You are just available to do everything. We are said to be in a revival. Glory to God. How do we know we are in a revival? Number two, when walking in the fear of God becomes our new way of life. Walking in the fear of God becomes our new way of life. When we refuse to live carelessly, careless lives, we are now walking in the fear of God. Jeremiah 32:39-40, and I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever for the good of them. So the fear of the Lord is not for the good of God, it's for our own good. For the good of them and of their children after them, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do good, to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. When our heart begins to pant after the things of God, then and our, the fear of the Lord is our priority for life, we are set to be in a revival. What others are doing is not what you, how do I put it? It is not what everybody is doing that you are doing. That everybody is doing it does not make it right. And I said to them in the first service, there are people who do stuff and get away with it. For you, it may not be so. The day you do it is the way, is the day something happens. How many understand what I'm talking about? I said to them in the first service, God said to one person, he said, I'm going to give you a child by this time next year. He said, no, it's not possible. As a matter of fact, they laughed. The Bible says the wife laughed. The man said, don't deceive me. God said, well, whether you like it or not, by this time next year, you will have a child. He said to another one, you will have a child by this time next year. He didn't even laugh. That one didn't even laugh. He just said, how is that possible? God said, you ask him, you'll be dumb until the baby comes. You won't be able to speak to anybody again. Same scene, different approach. That everybody is doing it does not mean you should follow. The fear of the Lord, when the fear of the Lord is our priority for living, it means we are in a revival. And when we are in a revival and the fear of the Lord is uppermost on our in our hearts, even our children's children benefit from it. Psalms 112:1-3, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Tap your neighbor for me and tell your neighbor, walk in the fear of the Lord. What is in a revival for us when we engage? What is in it for us? Number one, we are launched into our high places in life. Just as we shared earlier, where you are now is not the ultimate. God has a higher place for you. Glory to God. When you have been struggling in a revival, he said it will change your story. Where you have been put to shame in a revival, he said you will be glorified. In the midst of a revival, he said, my children will be beneficiaries. Those who have looked down on you in a revival, they begin to look up to you. In the midst of a revival, there will be establishment of businesses, establishment of careers. Did you hear that testimony? He said, I decided, the first one that was read, he said, I decided to go out for outreach. The first day I went for outreach, the next day they released my check. That was not the intention for the check to be released, but I decided to be available to serve. And then in the midst of service, whatsoever I couldn't get before began to happen on their own accord. That will be your testimony. In a revival, we are launched into our high places. Habakkuk 2:3, 2-6 that we read. He said, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath and mercy. He said, then God came down. The coming down of God is the beginning of signs and miracles. Every time God shows up, strange things happen. And every time God comes down, it means we are in a revival. And when God comes down, he takes us to our high places. His brightness, verse 4, was at the light. He had the horns coming out of his hand, and there was the hiding of his power. Before him went the pestilence, and burning coals went forth at his feet. He stood and measured the earth, and behold, it drove asunder the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. That means no barrier that will be able to stand before you. Everlasting mountains were scattered. That's not all. Perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. And then their story began to change. Habakkuk 3:17 now. It says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. It says, but yet I will rejoice in the Lord. And then it will begin to give me speed in exchange for what I have done. Many thought that I was behind before, but now he has given me speed to overtake them. He says he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places. So in a revival, we are taken up to our high places of the earth. Where you think you can never reach, you will get there this month. I said you will get there this month. Glory to God. Does not end there. Joel 2:26-27. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I'm in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. I am in the midst of them. And then I will take away their reproach. I will take away their sorrow. I will take away their shame. And I will replace it with glory. Somebody will be glorified this month. Amen. What is in a revival for us? Number three, we enjoy express answers to prayers in a revival. We enjoy express answers to prayers. That is, it takes us from the back of the queue and it puts us in front in prayer. It does not allow us to be in a queue when we are in a revival. What's in it for us? It takes us from the back of the queue and takes us to the front for express answers to our prayers. Glory to God. If you are the one that sent somebody something,
No matter how many people are in your office, when they say the person is back and he has come with a report, you tell him to come in first. Every other person, please wait. You come in. Why? Because you sent him. And that's exactly what he did. He said, you didn't qualify for this. I chose you for this. John 15, 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and I've ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. Now, this will be your first reward. Whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, you get it. Whatever you ask. So I will take you from the back of the queue and I will put you in front. We don't wait on the altar of prayer for answers to be released. He answers them speedily. As a matter of fact, he said, while they still call, I will answer. Before they call, I've answered. While they are yet speaking, I will do it. Peter was put in prison in Acts of Apostles chapter 5. The Bible says, Acts of Apostles chapter 12 and verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. The Bible says, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Why was Peter put in prison? He was doing what Jesus used to do. Don't stop preaching me. Don't stop preaching. They said, if you continue like this, we will kill you. And the Bible says, it was now time for him to be killed. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of God unto the Lord for him. Now, verse 6. Now, when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. I will refer to that light later. A light shined in the prison and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. In this revival, whatever chain, just like that song said, whatever chain you are in now is coming off right now. Amen. And the angel said unto him, guard thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. As a matter of fact, Peter thought he was dreaming. What's going on here? Go to the next verse. What's going on here? And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Peter thought he was seeing visions until he came out. And then the first thing he did, he went to the house where they were praying. Verse 12. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of Jesus, of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. They were still praying. Peter had been released. Express answers to prayers in the midst of a revival. They were still praying. Peter was released. As a matter of fact, as it was strange to Peter. You know, remember he said he thought he saw a vision. It was strange to him. It was stranger to the ones praying. Glory to God. Now, go to the next verse. Verse 14 now. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. And they said, it is his angel. In other words, God doesn't answer prayer like that. We are still praying. Glory to God. In fact, we have not started. We are still praying. But the Bible says, now, but Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Does God answer prayers like this? You won't stay too long on the altar of prayer again. Amen. Glory to God. I said glory to God. On June the 1st, I believe, or 2nd, I said to God, or God said to me, the easiest way for you to pray is to pray 15-minute intervals. If you do that 4 times in a day, you have prayed an hour. And then I was doing it. And I found that, because I just walk around this building and back and forth and back and forth, and found out that by the time I go 2, 3, 4, 5 times, it's already 30 minutes. So you have a schedule of praying 1 hour per day, it turns it to 2. As you are praying, you won't know you have done 15 minutes. You won't know. You, especially when you are not praying for yourself. If you are praying for yourself, you'll be repeating it. Lord, give me that car. Lord, I said that car. You remember that car? It is still that car. But when you are praying for others, you will, if you want to forget, you will keep bringing challenges to your mind of others that you need to pray for. And what happens? Before you now open your mouth to pray for yourself, he has answered. May the Lord give us understanding. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, God will break barriers for you today. Amen. You will agree with me that there are barriers, especially invisible barriers. That means invisible barriers are real. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 4. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. There are strongholds that cannot be seen. We are not warring against flesh and blood. Ephesians 6:12. He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Flesh and blood is not what we are warring against. We are warring against the invisible barriers. Glory to God. But here is the good news. Redemption has repositioned us to a place where invisible barriers cannot be a barrier to us. Redemption repositioned us to a place where we are sitting now is a place where invisible barriers cannot be a barrier to us. Cannot be a barrier to us. Ephesians 2:6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And where are we seated? Ephesians 1:21, far above principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. By faith, redemption has made us overcomers. We are now overcomers by faith, and we are overcomers over all visible and invisible barriers. Faith has turned us to overcomers. So Ephesians 6:16 tells us, above all, taking the shield of faith, the weapon of faith, where we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. When we take the weapon of faith, we engage in the fight of faith, and then we are turned to overcomers. 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We are overcomers by faith. But it will place a demand on us. Seeing invisible barriers cleared off our path, though is our portion, but it will place a demand. It's not automatic. What are those demands? Demands for crushing invisible barriers. Number one, be born again and remain so. Be born again and remain so. John 3:5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again of water and of spirit, he cannot see or enter into the kingdom of God. Until the greater one enters us, invisible barriers will remain there. Be born again and remain so. Ephesians 2:5-6 that was read. Even when we were dead in sins that quickened us up together with Christ, by grace ye are saved and hath raised us up. So if he raised us up by grace, by in redemption, we will stay up there when we are still saved. We stay up, he takes us up, we stay up when we are still born again. Tell your neighbor, be born again and remain so. Number two, demand. Never allow or let your light go dim. Never let your light go dim. Light is what gives us access to what is in the dark. The light we acquire shows us whatever is on our path that is invisible. Light, you know, take a look at invisible barrier as a huge pothole, and you don't have enough light to see it. You can stay on that road overnight if your tire bursts. And then you get into the trunk, you see that the other one is flat. Invisible barriers, they will be crushed on your path today. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:5, it says, "Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." So there is need, therefore, to walk in that light to keep darkness away. Walk in that light to keep darkness away. Where light is absent, invisible barriers prevail. When there is no light, if they take light here now and everybody wants to go out, there are people who will be knocking on the visible barrier. They will be knocking their heads on the visible barrier. How about the one you can't see with your naked eyes? You can only see with the light of the gospel. To clear them off. God said to his servant, he was praying. He said, why is this church not growing? He said he went on a fast 3 days. And then God said, come, let me show you something. He took him out. And then he said, look there. He said he saw something like a demon sitting on the church. And the work of that thing is to make the church look like something else to the people who are passing by. And he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, get out of there now. He said he saw the thing roll away from that time. Entrance of hundreds, thousands into the church. There are things you can't see except light comes out. The Lord will open your eyes. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 8 says, ye were sometimes darkness. Ephesians 5, 8, sorry. Ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Psalm 119 verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. So when we are talking about light, the light we are talking about is about the word of God. The entrance access is light. The entrance of thy word giveth light. And giveth understanding of how to tear the invisible barrier down. For John 1, 1 to 5, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He says, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Inside the Word is life, inside the Word is light. Light that gives you life is inside the Word, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And then in verse 9 he said, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Light exposes every barrier, invisible and visible. Your light will not go dim.
Amen.
But how do we make sure that our light does not go dim? Number one, be spiritual. Only the spiritual can have access to the things of the spirit. Psalm 25 and verse 14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. He will show them his covenant. Be spiritual. Be spiritual. And that means we need to align with the Holy Spirit, who is the author of scriptures and the revealer of secrets. He is the author and is the revealer of secrets. So he will give us access to the secrets when we are in the spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:12 to 14. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know. We will receive the spirit which is of God for us to know, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. So the Holy Ghost is the one that will teach us, give us access, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man cannot receive them, for they are foolishness unto him. neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual will only be given access to the things of the spirit. It will not make sense to the natural man. The natural man will not see anything out of it. John 14, 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Glory to God. How do we make sure our light does not go dim? Be in love with God. Be in love with God. Secrets are only revealed to lovers. Be in love with God. Don't come to God because you want something from him. Everyone that wants anything and approaches him for the thing, once you get it, you go. And it's a proof that you don't love. You can't have a friend that always takes from you. One day you will get angry. The friend, the only time they see you is give me, give me, give me. Every time. Never have they given. You will say to them one day, I know you are not my friend. It's because of what you are getting from me. The day they don't get it again, they stop reaching out to you. True lovers. And you won't tell that kind of friend any secret. Otherwise, they will use it to get money from you. True lovers of God don't seek him for what to get from him. They just love him and they serve him. He reveals secrets to them. Glory to God. John 15, 15. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all the things I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Every secret I have divulged to you. Glory to God. Number three, how do we make sure our light does not go dim? Be committed to the study of scriptures. Be committed to the study of scriptures. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Study to show yourself approved. He said, meditate upon these things. Verse 15, sorry. He said, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Study to the point of meditation that will result in revelation. You study to the point of, you know, there are times you study this book. I don't know about you. There are times you are studying this book and you are like, oh, I see. Wow. That's something popping up from it. You study to the place of glory to God. You study to the point that you begin to meditate on the word. And the word you are meditating in becomes a revelation. Study, and then it becomes revelation. Glory to God. I said in the first service, there are those who have never opened the Bible this year. The Bible is under their bed, under their pillow. When they dream any dream like this. Psalm 23. Is not what you quote in your head. It is what you have in your heart. Begin this month, even if it is one chapter per day. That one chapter, you will realize it has led you to something else. And when you are studying, you have a pen and a paper. You are not rushing through scriptures. You have a pen and a paper to be jotting things down. May the Lord give us understanding. Rather than being on Instagram from morning till night, study to show yourself approved. Glory to God. Number four, hallelujah has gone down. Hallelujah. Demands, number three now, demands of crushing invisible barriers. Remember, let me take us back. We said, number one, be born again and remain so. Number two, we said, never let your light go dim. Now, number three, never lose his presence. His presence is enough to clear any barrier. Never lose his presence. It is wise not to lose his presence. Wherever you go with the scriptures, it will keep His presence by your side. Psalms 24, 7 to 10. And when this is what happens when you have his presence. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. He says, who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and even lift them up ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. It was the King of glory that shone light in the prison door for Peter. And when he got to the gate, iron, the Bible says the gate opened to them on his own accord. Opened to them on his own. Why? Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up ye everlasting doors. For the King of glory is coming. The King of glory is coming. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. It is better for you to keep the captain that is winning war on your side. It's better for you. You are safer when the one winning the war is on your side. Never lose his presence. Never lose his presence. Never lose his presence. There was one guy in those days when we were in school. He was very huge. Very huge. There is one boy, one other guy, very small. One night, I don't know what we were looking for. In the night, or in the middle of the night, we went out. Like four or five of us, we were going. And then all of a sudden, from the bush, it was one village like that I've talked about before. From the bush, we just like, the small boy just held on to the big one, the huge one. That whatever is going to carry you from here today, must carry me here today, must carry you first. That is, and everywhere we were now going that night, he was just holding on to his shirt. Like, no, you are not leaving me. What am I saying? When you have a winner by your side, you keep him. Walk tirelessly to keep his presence. Look at what his presence does. Psalms 97 and verse 5. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord. He said in Habakkuk 3 and verse 2, O Lord, I've heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years made known in wrath, remember mercy. He stood and measured the earth. In the midst of the years, he is there in their midst. And when he is in their midst, that all perpetual hills bow. Every barrier will bow down to you today. Please rise up on your feet. Let's appreciate the Lord this morning. Let's appreciate the King of glory and exalt him. Give him thanks and praise. Give him glory and honor and adoration. Exalt him. This revival, I will not be left out. Speak to him right now. This revival season, I will not be left out. In this revival season, Lord, you will use me. In this revival season, Lord, I will be a partaker and your name glorify. Thank you, Eternal Father. In Jesus' most glorious name, we have prayed. Amen. In Jesus' marvelous name, we pray. Amen. Before he can help you, he needs to know you. Before he can render any help to you, he needs to know you. And this morning, there are people who need to know him. There are people who knew him before, but they walked out on him. And now they want to return. They need to return. There is need to return. Like I said, never. The reason some things are not working is because you have abandoned your God. You have abandoned the doer. You want things to work, come back to the doer. The one that brought you here. You are now abandoned him. Come back to the doer. Therefore, there's somebody here this morning that wants to say, Lord Jesus, I want to be born again. I want to know you as my Lord and my Savior. Why not this morning, all heads bowed and all eyes closed, put your right hand on your heart. If you are in that category, you want to say, Lord, have mercy on me. I want to know you as my Lord and my Savior. God bless you. God bless you. Somebody else wants to say, Lord Jesus, I want to rededicate my life to you. I want to rededicate my life to you. I knew you, but I walked out on you. It is time for me to return. Why not also put your right hand on your heart? I see some hands already. So put your right hand on your heart. Don't worry about who is looking or not. It is your life, and it is you and the one that can help you. The one that is looking at you cannot help themselves. And if you are doing that right now, say these words after me. Say with me, Lord Jesus, I've come to you today just as I am. I know I'm a sinner, but I know you died for me. And on the third day, you rose again that I might be justified. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, because now I am born again in Jesus' marvelous name. Amen. Father, thank you for these precious souls. Your grace brought them. The same grace will preserve them. Amen. These ones will never go back to perdition. They will begin to take root downwards, bear fruit upwards. And every barrier on their path you will clear off. Amen. In Jesus' marvelous name. Amen. Thank you, Holy One. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Well.